The Supplication on Thursdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who has taken away the shadowy night by His power and brought the sight-giving day through His mercy. He has clothed me in its brightness and given me its favor. O Allah, just as Thou hast spared me for this day, so also spare me for its likes. Bless the Prophet Muhammad and his household, and torment me not in it and in other nights and days by allowing me to commit unlawful acts and to clothe myself in sins. Provide me with its good, the good of all within it, and the good of everything after it, and turn away from me its evil, the evil of all within it, and the evil of everything after it. O Allah, by the protective compact of Islam, I seek mediation with Thee, and by the inviolability of the Quran, I rely upon Thee. By Muhammad, the Chosen, Allah bless him and his household, I seek intercession with Thee. So recognize my protective compact, by which I hope my need will be granted. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, decree for me on Thursday 5 things, which none embraces but Thy generosity, and none supports but Thy favors. Health through which I may have the strength to obey Thee. Worship by which I may deserve Thy plentiful reward. Plenty in my state through lawful provision. And that Thou makest me secure in the places of fear through Thy security. And placest me in Thy fortress against the striking of worries and sorrows. Bless Muhammad and his household. And make my seeking his mediation as an intercessor give profit on the day of resurrection. Surely, Thou art the most merciful of the merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, salam, so welcome to today's special. On this auspicious occasion, the 42nd anniversary of the victory of the Islamic Revolution of Iran, please accept our congratulations.
Ironi, ironi, però è la fare di calamore un po' a chi, ma è perciò!
You are with today's special from IRIB English Radio. Today, Wednesday, is the 27th of Jamadil Thani, 1442, of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 22nd of Bahman, 1399, of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 10th of February, 2021, of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open the Holy Quran and we listen to chapter Yunus, verse 72.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فإن توليتم فما سألتكم من أجر إن أجري إلا على الله وأمرت أن أكون من المسلمين.
And if you turn away from my advice, then no payment have I asked of you. My reward is only from Allah, and I have been commanded to be of the Muslims.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Dear friend, anxieties often revolve around either one's life or one's wealth. The issue dealt within this verse relates to the Prophet's lack of expectations for reward and wealth from the side of people. Prophet Noah, peace be upon him, in this verse announced that if the believers were to turn away from the truth, not accepting or following it, he did not expect any rewards for bringing them the message. This was his mission, so they should not balk at acceptance for fear of feeling that they would end up owing him something which would be burdensome to them.
In the month of Bahman, the month of Islamic Revolution, be with today's special.
And again on today's special, the fundamentals of Iran's Islamic Revolution. Before that, all Muslims all around the world, we offer our congratulations on the 42nd anniversary of the victory of the Islamic Revolution of Iran. In Islamic Revolution, the people are the real owner of this system. This explains the success of the Islamic Republic in all fields, including its firm adherence to the original values and goals for the Islamic Revolution that have restored the Iranian people their real Muslim identity. This is the reason that the Islamic Republic has become a role model for Islamic unity and solidarity for the people of the region and beyond, who are clearly inspired by the system of government in Iran, much to chagrin of the enemies. All this means that Islam, claimed by the godless Takfiri terrorists, is nothing but a mockery of Islamic values as dictated by their creator in the West and the illegal Zionist entity. ISIS and all similar outfits have miserably failed to fool the overwhelming majority of Muslims throughout the world who cherish genuine Muhammadan Islam as presented to the world by the Islamic Iran. Dr. Fakhr Rouhani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi-nasta'in. Shortly after the Islamic Revolution of Iran, the whole nation was attacked by the ex-Ba'athist regime under Saddam Hussein in Iraq. We find that the eight-year imposed war that the Iraqi hegemony under Saddam Hussein imposed on the Iranian nation, in effect of which thousands of people were martyred, and Saddam Hussein during his rule bombarded many cities in Iran. We find that it has been this spirit that encouraged people to resist to resist against all of those oppressions and to be steadfast. And finally, we find that it has been Saddam Hussein's regime that has finally been eradicated from the political scene, not only of Iraq, but of the whole history. This religious and spiritual element in the Islamic Revolution of Iran inspired people, and especially combatants, to resist against invading the country by Iraqi forces. Now we find that this religious spirit and this mode of feeling quite religious and spiritual on the political and social scene has enabled people not only to resist all those political pressures and economic hardships, rather during and because of throughout, the revolution onward, since the revolution onward, we find that this spirit has led the whole nation to coming up with some important achievements, not only on the national or the local level, but on the global level and scale. Thank you.
IRIB English Radio in the month of Bahman presents today's special.
On the auspicious occasion of the victory of the Islamic Revolution, there was today's special with thousands of congratulations to all Muslims all around the world. Imam Khomeini's political thought, alliance between religion and politics. Imam Khomeini had a firm conviction that Islam is a comprehensive religion and can provide a political theory for a society. In his political will, he writes, "Unlike other atheist schools of thought, Islam takes into account all aspects of human life, that is individual, social, physical, spiritual, cultural, political, economic, and military affairs of life. Islam does not leave any point helpful for the material and spiritual development of man and society untouched. Islam elaborates on the obstacles of such development in society and teaches how to remove them." On the behalf of my colleagues on today's special, we congratulate the 42nd of victory anniversary of the Islamic Revolution of Iran. Stories from the life of Imam Khomeini, under the title "Raising a Child Cannot Be Accomplished by a Man." Imam's daughter narrates, "Imam believed the role of the mother to be very determining and gave a lot of importance to the upbringing of children. Sometimes when we would joke and say that a woman must always stay at home, he would say, 'Don't think little of the home. The upbringing of child is no small matter. If somebody is able to raise one person properly, she had done a great service to society.' He believed that the upbringing of a child could not be accomplished by a man. This was a job specifically designed for a woman because a woman is kinder, and the order of a family also had to be based on kindness and love."
In America right now, you find that there are lobbies who are promoting Sufism as the official representative of Islam because they are mute towards the taghuts and dhalimeen. That's the kind of Islam they love to see from us. So Imam used to say to the Sufis, how would you be Ahlul Tariqah, Ahlul Tariqat, which is the button of the Sharia, when you did not even practice the Sharia in its totality? Because you cannot reach the batin without totally practicing the zahir. Sasawikam, you know, you need to be ahlul batin. And not just that, but also you find that because of this kamalul inqita, just like his imam, just like Sayyidul Shuhada alayhi salam said, لَوْ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِي مَلْجَأٌ وَلَا مَأْوَى لَمَا بَايَعْتُ يَزِيدَ بْنَ مُعَاوِيَةَ. If I have no place for refuge, I would still not do the oath of allegiance towards Yazid son of Muawiyah. This is Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And then you find there are some people who, when you talk about Imam Hussein, they start bringing Imam Hassan alayhi salam as if they're trying to say that Imam Hassan is different from Imam Hussein. What are you trying to say? No, we followed the footsteps of Imam Hassan. What do you mean by that? Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein are part of one nur. Al-Hassan wal-Hussein, imaman qama aw qa'ada. Imam Hussein was part of the sulh. And if Imam Hassan was alive at the time of Karbala, he would have done exactly the same and said exactly what Imam Hussein said, because they are part of one nur. Imam Hassan is not the person who's inclined towards sulh, as some interpret, because he's the one who says, Wallahi law wajadtu ansaran la qataltuhu layli wa nahari. I swear to Allah, if I had found companions, supporters, I would have fought against him, that is Muawiyah, day in and day out, night and day. The same Imam Hassan, some people end up saying, that he is inclined towards sulh. No, our Imams are neither inclined towards war, nor they are inclined towards sulh and peace. They are inclined towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah wants, to defend Islam, they would defend Islam. If Allah wants them to enter into a ceasefire and truce agreement, they would do that. Because they, represent Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he returns back, and surface-to-air missiles were installed in Mehrabad airport. This is about tawakkul. Tawakkul in Islam means that you first do your fariza, your divine obligation, and then leave the result upon Allah. He used to say, ma mukallaf bi wazifeen. Nahnu mukallafun bil fariza, lasna mukallafin bin natija. We are obliged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to focus on the divine duty, not to care about the result. The result is the domain of Allah. Let's not penetrate into his domain. He's doing his job, Imam Hussein is successful, whether he gets killed, becomes shaheed, Yazid reigns into power for next 2 years, because Imam Hussein did his fariza.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special. Again, please accept our congratulations on the victory anniversary of the Islamic Revolution of Iran. Fi amanillah. I invite you to listen to the next episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Till then, have a nice time.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends, and our heartiest congratulations to all on yet another anniversary of the glorious victory of the Islamic Revolution. As Iran steps into its 42nd year as the role model of popular religious rule for the peoples and countries of the world. To the detriment of the hypocrites, the terrorists, the Zionists, the Wahhabis, the imperialists, and the entire unjust system of global arrogance. We have chosen for you a beautiful hadith from the Prophet of Islam's seventh infallible heir, Imam Musa Kazem, peace be upon him, that seems to refer to the father of the Islamic Revolution, Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul, who changed for good the destiny of the Iranian people. a man from Qom will rise and invite people towards the truth. Around him will gather people like slabs of iron, who will stand firm against strong winds and storms, and will never get tired of war. They know not fear and have trust in Allah. The outcome is for the pious.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahi ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. Again, continuing with the hadith of Ibn Hisham, or Hisham ibn Hakam, rather, from Imam Kadhim alayhi salam, we have reached the sixth, or section number six of this tradition, where the Imam alayhi salam is telling Hisham and comparing two important things. Again, with the use of the Holy Quran, that the Imam alayhi salam in this section is saying that there are two things that we as human beings possess, or can possess. One is the intellect, which is God-given. The other is knowledge, which is also God-given if you actually look at it in its essence. But rather, knowledge is something that we acquire. And here the Imam is saying that these two aspects and these two qualities, and rather these two virtues, if you like truly look at it, go hand in hand. That a person who has intellect, who has the ability to comprehend, who has the ability to rationalize certain things, they are able to possess certain types of knowledge. And this is what the Imam says in this section of the tradition. So the Imam says that, O Hisham, use of the intellect goes hand in hand with knowledge. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, we draw these comparisons for all people. What is meant by the comparison here is the comparison of polytheism to the web of a spider, that it is weak. And again, this verse is from Surah An-Kabut, the 29th Surah of the Holy Quran, verse number 43. So we draw these comparisons for all people, that anything other than Tawheed is weak. It is founded on nothing. But no one fully comprehends, this is important, comprehends here, يَأْقِلُهَا,
and but no one fully comprehends them except those who possess knowledge. And the verse is, Illa al-alimun, those who are the possessors of knowledge. So those individuals who have the ability to comprehend this, for example, parable that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings in the Holy Quran and other parables as well. It's a person who possesses knowledge. And this knowledge then works on his intellect. So it's like a loop, but a loop that gets bigger and bigger. It is a reciprocation here, meaning that a person who has knowledge, his intellectuation, his rationalization, his intellect increases. And vice versa, a person who uses intellect, his knowledge increases. And we can see this in other traditions. And in the same tradition, later on, we'll get a clearer picture of it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala both to increase our knowledge and to increase our intellect and our rationale in order to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
ودعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and as always, we are joined by our Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi, and assalamu alaikum to all the dear brothers and sisters who are listening to this program. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is all mine, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. In this series, at first, we all are going to listen to a recitation of the Noble Quran recited by a famous reciter. After it, brother Muhammad will analyze that recitation, and at the end, we are going to listen to a short speech about the Noble Quran. Stay tuned, dear audience. We'll be right back. In the first part of today's program, we all are going to listen to the recitation of verses 25 and 26 of Surah Al-Ahzab, recited by Sheikh As-Sayyid Mutawalli Abdul Al. Dear audience, let's enjoy it.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa radda Allahu كفروا بغيظهم لم ينالوا خيرا وكفى الله المؤمنين القتال ورد الله الذين كفروا بغيظهم لم ينالوا خيرا وكفى الله المؤمنين القتال وكان الله قوي وكان الله قويا عزيزا وأنزل الذين ظاهروهم من أهل الكتاب من صياصيهم وقذف في قلوبهم الرعب فريقا تقتلون وتأسرون فريقا صدق الله العلي العظيم.
Dear audience, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And what you just listened to was recitation of verses 25 and 26 of Suratul Ahzab, recited by Sheikh Sayyid Mutawalli Abdul Al. Now, Brother Muhammad is going to analyze this beautiful recitation. Brother Muhammad, the mic is yours.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In our previous programs, if you remember, we had this segment about the music of the Quran. And we said that sometimes some words, just the sounds that they have, the pronunciation could signify the meaning.
That's right.
One example that I found in these verses was the first verse that was recited.
Verse 25 of Surah Al-Ahzab.
Verse 25, yes. Bi-ghayyulihim. See, we have two letters of isti'la, ghayn and wa.
Mm-hmm.
They're pronounced with
tafkhim.
With tafkhim, and when you pronounce something with tafkhim, it's like,
it's getting angry.
It's manly. It's like, yeah. It shows some kind of, we could say, anger sometimes, because the line and ghadab, the word ghadab itself has line and dad, both are letters of tafkhim, and as well as the word ghayl. The word ghayl also has this characteristic. Ghayl means fury. Fury,
yes.
Wrath, anger. And just the pronunciation of this word, we could feel a kind of anger in it.
Right.
It's like, just when we want to pronounce the line and the law, we have to like make our voice deep. And the person who gets really angry, their voice gets really deep sometimes. And they shout. Now let's talk about the tajweed.
That's a good idea, yes.
Again, Sheikh Sayyid Mutawalli Abdul Al is reciting in Warsh an Nafi'. There are certain similarities and some differences between Hafs and Warsh, and we will mention them. Waraddallah. Wa. Waraddallah. The waw and the dal, they both have tarqiq.
Yes.
While the ra, which is in the middle, it has tafkhim.
Wa radda.
And all three letters have fatha.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to make sure
that only the ra is pronounced with tafkhim. Wa ra de. And how can we do this? The best way of doing this is opening the mouth horizontally for the waw and the dal.
Yeah.
And the ra, it's a little bit vertical when it's pronounced. Wa ra de. Yes.
So first the lips are spread, then they become round, and then they become spread again.
Yeah, exactly. وَرَدَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Again, the word كَفَرُوا has a ra in it. Ra should be pronounced with tafkhim here. Yeah. Again, in both Warsh and Hafs, it's pronounced with tafkhim, because the ra has a dhamma in Hafs, and because the ra is preceded by fatha
in Warsh.
بِغَيْظِهِمْ, we have the tafkhim that we talked about, the two letters ghain and wa.
Yes.
بِغَيْظِهِمْ لَمْ يَنَالُوا خَيْرَ. Warsh pronounces the ra with tarqiq, while Hafs pronounces it with tafkhim. خَيْرَ, خَيْرَ, رَ, خَيْرَ. Why is it that Warsh pronounces it with tarqiq? It's because it's preceded by a ya sakina. Ya sakina can only take place in two cases: when the letter is preceded by fatha or a kasr. You never have a ya sakina preceded by a dhamma. We don't have ui in Arabic. We only have a and e, but not ui. Okay.
Something like boy. The diphthong oi does not exist in Arabic.
Yes. And so matu lin ends with a ya ul mad. Khayra. In Warsh, if there's ya ul mad before ra and there's no letter of istala after the ra, you have to pronounce it with the ra with tawqiq,
with thinness. And why is it pronounced with tafkhim in Hafs and Asan?
Because ra has fatha, tanween of fatha, or tanween al fatha.
Or when we pause,
it has an alif ul mad.
It has an alif ul mad.
Either way, you have to apply tafkhim. Then the next verse, وَأَنزَلَ الَّذِينَ ظَاهَرُوهُم مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. Warsh says, مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ with naql. The fatha goes to the noon, which is before the hamza. So naql takes place whenever you have a sakin letter, and after the sakin letter you have a letter with a haraka, hamza. With any haraka. No. Yeah, with a hamza.
The hamza with a haraka, actually.
Yeah. So the haraka of the hamza goes to that sakin letter which is before the hamza.
And then we ignore that hamza.
Yes.
Min ahli becomes min ahli.
Min ahli al-kitab. As-samawati wal-arub. And finally, we have another rule of Warsh. Ta-siruna fariqa. Ta-sirun is pronounced ta-sirun. The hamza is not pronounced with nabr.
And the ra
is pronounced with tarqiq, unlike hafs, which is pronounced with tafkhim.
Thank you, dear Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. And now the third part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. We all are going to listen to a short speech by Dr. Shomali talking about the Noble Quran. Let's enjoy it.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So, we have to be very grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has not just given us a book, He has opened a channel of communication which is continuing, a channel of shifa and rahmah and light and mercy which is continuing. It's an ongoing river. Always go and find it fresh. No matter what problems humanity faces, always the solution is there. As Rasulullah said, إذا التبست عليكم الفتن كقطع الليل المظلم فعليكم بالقرآن. قرآن is a school. Quran is a clinic. Everything is there. But we have to go with open heart and mind. If we don't go with open heart and mind, we don't find anything. It's not relevant to me. No, it's very relevant. You are not able to get the message. There are people that they find the Quran so relevant as it was revealed for them today. They say, Subhanallah, as if this ayah was revealed for me today. It must become like this for all of us. If we are tuned to the signal of the Quran, you find that the Quran is answering all your questions.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, what you just listened to was a short speech by Dr. Shomali, and that was the final part of the program. Let's recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Click on the tab Call of Islam on the top right of the page, and there you can have access to all our programs as well as the other programs of the radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
منان سبحان يا خالق الإنسان نورنا بالقرآن بمصحف الإيمان ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن.
This man changed the world.
Allahu Akbar. Khomeini rahbar. Allahu Akbar. Khomeini rahbar.
Our bosses couldn't cope with the idea of an 80-year-old Ayatollah, which they didn't even know what an Ayatollah was, who lived on garlic and onions and yogurt, directing a revolution that was about to topple America's most important ally.
Shuma dar in qarn mojza kardid, millat Iran, millat mojza asay qarn ast.
Allahu Akbar, Khomeini rahbar. Allahu Akbar, Khomeini rahbar.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Exalted, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Salam and hello and welcome to our audience, and particularly a warm welcome to our program, The Man Who Changed the World. This program is dedicated to the memory of Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul. And it's a program also about him, about his great personality, and of course about his historical character. I'm your host for this program, Ijaz Hussain, and once again I'm joined by my good friend Dr. Mahdi Turabi, who is also an Islamic researcher and scholar, and I want to welcome him to the program first of all, and say salam to him.
Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
Thank you once again for accepting our invitation.
My pleasure.
Dr. Mahdi Turabi, we got to the point, I think, from the last program, mm-hmm. where you mentioned a very, very important quality of the Imam, which was the fact that, you know, he was the friend and lover of the common people. And you talked about the fact that how the elites today, even in the 21st century, and we see that, you know, even with the what's happening in the United States and what happens throughout the region here, that how the elites hate the people, right? We're talking about exactly. We're talking about two entirely different things here.
Right.
And when you spoke about that in the last poem, believe me, my mind went right back to the speech that was given by Emperor Heraclius when Abu Sufyan visited him, or he was called by him. I think that's the way the story goes, that the emperor actually called Abu Sufyan to his court. And because he had heard that there was a prophet in Arabia, which astounded Christendom at that time, they wanted to know more. And, you know, who did you know, speak to about this issue? The greatest enemy of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. But anyway, the emperor was very astute. He was very clever in terms of how he paraphrased his questions to him. And he said to him, he says, what is the quality of this man, this Prophet Muhammad? And he says, what kind of people follow him? Who follows him in Arabia? And he says, the poor and the slaves. And that's where you took me when you mentioned that exact point, that this is one of the qualities of the awliya. This is one of the qualities of the holy prophets, that they carry the common man. And this is very, very important, because we spoke in contrast about the fact that how the elites don't trust the people and hate the people. And this is why they're becoming police states, aren't they? I mean, this is why the U.S. is going to use drones now on their own population. So this is the sort of thing. But to carry on with our discussion, please take it to the next level, because we are really talking about, you know, we talked about the opinion of the expert opinion of Rahbar. We talked about the supreme leader. But I think you're now going to quote some other experts now on their view of this great personality.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I promised to quote two things from the Supreme Leader last program. Only got to one of them.
Oh, did you? Right, okay.
So the one thing that I quoted was from a speech that was, you know, in the past.
That's right. Yes.
Right. And he basically talked about how, you know, Imam was really somebody on the level of, you know, or close to the level of the prophets and the awliya in terms impact on the world.
Sure.
And the second thing I wanted to quote, again, from the Supreme Leader, talking about how Imam was and, you know, the beauty of just seeing that person and the way they lived and the way the example that they were, and the fact that he combined this deep piety and complete submission, as you were speaking about in the previous program, to God, being a complete, you know, servant of God, and at the same time leading humans and leading societies and confronting, you know, the most powerful of the oppressors and of the zalimeen, as is
the famous quote that was given in most UK papers. They translated it from the Farsi, Butchikan. Thank you very much for that. But the idol smasher of our time. And you saw a picture
of
the Statue of Liberty and communism being broken up and stuff
like that.
It's
very interesting you mentioned that. I mean, I'm going to get to this
idea
of Butchikan later,
yeah,
because that's also a very important thing for many people. Mm. That was, you know. But the quote that the Supreme Leader, this is the one from the Supreme Leader talking about Imam, the one that he recently made, which is a combination of Imam being both a deeply pious and spiritual person in his personal life.
Sure.
And also, at the same time, being a leader of peoples, which is something that, in the Western view, in the modern view, is, you know, separate. You are either a monk in your, you know, separate in your desert, you know, retreat, or you are, you know. Yeah. Whereas Imam completely broke that.
Sure.
He was, just as he was spiritual, he was also a leader of humanity, which is what Islam tells us. This is what the Prophet did. Sure. This is what Imam did.
We are going to listen to that quote now.
کسی مثل امام بزرگوار ما
Somebody like our magnanimous Imam, who single-handedly entered the arena, managed to unite all the people and launch this great movement with his firm determination, faith, and reliance on God, relied more than anything else on knowledge and understanding, on worship of God, and on the enthusiasm which originates from one's heart and soul. Until the end of his life, this great person used to wake up in the middle of the night and shed tears despite being old and physically weak. We knew it because we had heard from his close relatives, who knew everything about his lifestyle, that he used to wake up in the middle of the night and ask Allah, the Exalted, for help. He used to keep a vigil at night. He was like this at night, and during the day, he used to enter the arena like a roaring lion and defeat global powers and solve the people's problems. He used to strengthen and set in motion the determination of all the people, thanks to his reliance on spirituality.
به برکت اون پشتوانه معنوی.
Very, very powerful words there from the Supreme Leader about this great personality of Imam Khomeini. May God bless his soul. Dr. Mahdi Tarabi, I mean, what can we say after that? I mean, the thing is that he certainly, you know, put it in a nutshell, you know, that this is a man truly of God, and he enters the arena in order to guide mankind against the most powerful demonic forces that were there at the time.
Right, and I mean, this is the thing that we were talking about, which is that, you know, this was completely, had been lost in humanity.
It
the
had
fact
been,
that
yeah.
You could be somebody who was deeply spiritual.
Deeply spiritual, yes.
And, you know, devoted in your personal life and in your worship, you know, on a daily basis in the middle of the night, you know, wherever it was that you had to be connected to God, and at the same time be somebody who is, you know, completely active and leads a nation towards its liberation and towards
independence,
you know, its independence, its awakening. Mm. It's and you know, these are things that, you know, over the years, when you look at how Western civilization developed, how
sure.
You know, religion was put aside, how you had this idea of, you know,
that materialism was the way to go,
right? And mm. again, this has to do also with Christianity itself.
That's
the
true.
Fact that it failed in many ways.
Of course it is.
In order to really satisfy the needs of humanity. And this is why we say that Islam is the deen al-haq, is the religion of truth.
Truth, yes.
Is the one that's the most updated version for humanity.
Exactly.
The one that actually, you know, is able to satisfy all the needs of humanity. This is why we're Muslim. Because
exactly.
We say Islam is a complete religion.
Mm.
And again, I want to emphasize these things. These things, we've talked about this before, but it's always good to remind
yeah,
ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of these things.
I mean, I think
you
it's
know,
worth
there's
mentioning
no point in having a God that doesn't care about people. There's no point in having a God that doesn't care about social justice. There's no point in having a God that doesn't care about the liberation and the liberty of human beings. There's no point in having a God that allies himself with the oppressors.
No.
Okay? Mm. So I'm saying these things in a strong way because we have this very...
And I thank you for it.
Mm. Odd image of, like, you know...
Mm. But that was the image that was given to
I
us.
I mean, the
it?
Idea that, you know, God, you know, he's the one that's... he's the main thing.
Mm.
You know, he's not going to forget about the people who are poor and deprived. And, you know, like you mentioned very nicely, the fact that you always had the prophets... You know, and of course, at the best example of it being Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, being, you know, with the poor and the slaves. And we have the same thing with, you know, Prophet Ibrahim. We have the same thing with Prophet Musa.
Absolutely.
You know,
Moses,
with Prophet
yes.
Isa, peace
yes.
be upon them all.
Sure.
You know, you look at, and it's even in the Bible. It's in the Torah.
Yes,
you know,
is,
these are not things
is.
That, you know, but also in our, you know, in the Quranic version of their stories, you know, the people that follow them are not the elites initially.
No.
Because they are a threat to the, you know, money, wealth, and power, and of these elites. The fact
well,
that these
I mean,
elites would be above the law.
If I could make a quote from the media, which I heard recently, and it's a quite a funny quote, facetious quote, but it's interesting. We believe in the prophets as the 124,000 that came into this world as Muslims, but the elites believe in these prophets, which is just.
You know, with F.
With F.
As opposed to PH.
PH, exactly.
Exactly. So this is the point, you know. And like the Supreme Leader was mentioning, here's a man, you know, even in old age, even at a time when he was physically...
Yes, as the Supreme Leader was
saying. You
know,
when he was physically,
very powerful,
you know, ill and, you know, getting up in the middle of the night. Beseeching...
Beseeching, yes, that's the word, yes.
You know,
yes.
Beseeching at night and besieging the enemies in the...
Yes, besiege, because he did mention that.
And creating the besiege.
Yeah. And he created the besiege, yes. The volunteer
so,
defense
so,
force.
So, you know,
right.
These are the things that... this is why people followed him. This is
of
why.
They did.
This is why we always look at him and think of him as the most important person, spiritually, that we were able to, you know...
I think
have in our life.
I think this is a point to be mentioned here, that ishq that the Supreme Leader referred to in his description.
The love.
Of
the,
this love. And I think that's the essence of religion. That's what it's all about. It's
exactly.
About that love. And I think we had a taste of that while, you know,
exactly.
we were living those times. And it was that love that was the greatest motivator in terms of that liberation that we now experienced.
There is no doubt in our minds after having witnessed Imam and the things that happened with him and during his time, you know, because we're talking about Imam and his times, right? This is the program. There's no doubt in our minds about the existence of God. There's no doubt in our mind about, you know, the truthfulness and the rightfulness of the Sunnah of the Prophet, peace be upon him, about the school of Ahlul Bayt, because we experienced it. This was not, it wasn't theoretical. It wasn't something that we were taught and to memorize only.
Yeah.
It was something that we experienced on a daily basis in our lives, and the things that happened and the challenges that we were able to overcome.
It was from the heart.
And, you know, it was practical. It was real. It was not, you know, something distant that, you know, you had to, you know, go through many different twists and turns and able to understand it. It was something we experienced on a daily basis. Yeah. We felt it. We saw it. We knew it. Mm. And this is the difference between Islamic spirituality and maybe others, which is that, and this is an important point.
Please.
You know, about, and I hope, you know, just to bear with me and the listeners, that, you know, this might seem like a deeper academic point, but this is actually very important, which is in Islamic philosophy, in Islamic spirituality, Irfan, as the only school that has reached this level in terms of explaining it, we claim, or the school of Ahlul Bayt claims in its Irfan, that there, at some point, there is a unity between the person who knows and the knowledge that he has. This is different than in other schools of philosophy and in other schools of spirituality.
I see.
You know, you have that spiritual aspect in other religions, but it is not explained well. It is not understood well as an academic matter.
I see.
Spirituality is equated with emotionalism.
That's right.
Which is not true. You know, this is not the reality of it. When we talk about reaching the highest levels of spirituality, it is an actually where there is very little emotion. It's pure logic. It's pure having a 100% knowledge and understanding of something.
A kind of certitude.
It's a certitude, exactly. A very firm certitude where you, as the knower and the knowledge, are combined. This is when we talk about the knowledge of the prophets or the imams. This is the kind of knowledge that we're talking about.
Sure.
Okay, this is what makes them different from normal humans.
In Arabic, we call it yaqeen, isn't it?
It's yaqeen, and you know, in philosophy, they call it ilm huduri, which is presence knowledge.
Yes, I've heard of this.
It's presence knowledge.
Presence knowledge.
As opposed to knowledge, which is the normal kind of knowledge that we have, which is you, as the knower, are separate from the knowledge.
Mm.
You have the knowledge, but it's separate. There's not a unity.
But this is like a living knowledge. You're actually living
so
it.
So what we felt and what we saw and what we experienced, as an example, I'm saying.
Yes.
So when we say we, I mean those of us who lived that time.
That's right. Absolutely.
Those of us who saw it, those of us who experienced it, you know. These are things that there is such a level of certainty for us in this. It's beyond the things that we normally talk about and the normal levels of existence that you know, we experience. Again, something acknowledged by, you know, non-Muslims, even enemies of Islam, even enemies of Imam.
Sure.
These are things that have to do with, you know, when you see it, there's no denying it.
Mm.
You know, there's many examples of, you know, Western statesmen, politicians, journalists, elites.
Yeah, who have some kind of charisma.
Right, who then saw what happened with Imam and acknowledged that this was different.
This was different, yes.
Than what they had experienced previously.
Previously, yes.
Okay, this has to do with what you mentioned, which is, you know, the idol smasher.
That's right.
Butchikan, you know, we always used to, there was this, I remember now that, you know, they used to have the chant when he would come in, which is, you know, you are our soul, you are, you know, the idol smasher. And, you know, when, as you correctly point out, you know, those idols were the idols that related to things like, you know, having to become Western and or having to become Eastern, even for those who were Marxist or communist or who wanted to join the Soviets, you know, sphere.
Yeah.
That's on one level. Yes. And, of course, on a deeper level, it has to do with your own inside and your own spiritual, you know, the